Isn't it unusual what God is doing in our services? I don't know how you feel when you get to this point of the service. To me, it feels like God is visiting us in an unusual way. I mean, the worship has always been good, but it feels to me that, I know, God seems to be a little bit more present than before. As we sit here, I often tend to feel a bit heavy in the body, and I feel like God is with us. His hand of blessing is on us. His favor is on us. Isn't it wonderful to be in a service like that? Praise Him for Him being here with us. We've been focusing on the book of Acts recently, and I hope it's been a good journey for you. The book is a great story, although with some challenges, especially for Paul. He goes through quite a lot of trials to get to the end. And I've wondered if it's not unlike maybe South Africa, a great country, but with a few challenges as well that we're looking at. So we focused on the book of Acts. We also want to focus on prayer today. So can I warn you and ask you, would you be prepared to pray today? We're going to get there shortly, and I'm going to ask you if you would form little groups, and we're going to pray, and we're going to intercede on behalf of our country. I think we all agree it is called for, and we as a body of Christ are going to do that. So if you can get ready on that second focus. We want to pray essentially, Lord, your kingdom come. That's what we want. And everybody can pray that with gusto, Lord, your will to be done here. So I've entitled the message today as focus. A couple of focus points. Just a little testimony from my side. This book, this Bible that I've lived with for some decades now, seems to have taken on a new life and just become a little bit more special than ever before. We are asking ourselves as we read the book of Acts, what can we translate from the stories in Acts into our situation where we are? What is doable? What comes from many years ago and can be fitted into where we are? And when you read the Bible with that kind of perspective, there's all kinds of things that speak to you. And I wonder if we can maybe do that during this message as well. Remember, we have two questions that we've asked of our discipleship courses over the years. Is what is God saying to you? You will remember. And the second one is, what are you doing about it? And it has served us well to ask those questions, and anybody in this room as well. It's a good question to ask you. What is God saying to you at this point? And I think we would all have an answer. So I believe God is putting his finger or his thumb on this area of my life, or drawing me into a new place of love and appreciation for him. And then the question is, what are we doing about it? Are we responding to that? Two good questions. I remember the book of Proverbs. Remember we did it just before Acts? I always found it interesting that we would have Acts on top of Proverbs, because two things I remember about Proverbs is the wisdom two-step. That wisdom doesn't come by revelation only. It's revelation and, what is the second word? Application. It's wisdom is made up of revelation and application. If you think of what it says in James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So listening can be deception, but do what it says. In James 2, 21, 22, it says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. There's a call to do after having heard what God says. So this Bible, great book, becoming so special. Wisdom is a two-step process. It's revelation and application. So how can you remember that? The way I remember it is a one, two, very easy, two-step, wisdom two-step. It's cemented for me in that way. For an example, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. As we read the scripture, it says, you will receive power and you will be witnesses. Now, if we look at that scripture, I don't know how I've seen that in the past, but it's challenged me more recently to say, you will receive power in order to be witnesses. And I've maybe just gone past that to think, you will receive the Holy Spirit. There will be the gifts of the Spirit, maybe the fruit of the Spirit. But according to this scripture, Acts 1:8, the original intent was to be given the power to be witnesses. And I feel in the way we're looking at scripture these days to say, what does that mean to me? I have to ask myself the question, where am I being a witness? And is the power evident in my witnessing of the goodness of the Lord? And I'm challenged by that and realize that my witnessing is something that needs to grow more. But the scripture is clear, you were given power to be a witness. Prophesy, yes. Pray for the sick to be healed, yes. Maybe raise the dead even, but essentially to be a witness. I find that very challenging, and I wonder where that leaves you, but that's just an example of where we're going. As we look at Paul's life, the challenge becomes even more clear, because now we're looking at Paul to see his focus in life and to see if Paul was focused in a particular way, could we translate that to where we are? Remember, that's our premise where we're beginning from. So let's look at three scriptures. Acts 20:24 says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So Paul has got one aim. He says, my life is worth nothing to me. And so if we're going to translate, I think, could I say that? Can I say my life means nothing to me? Can I agree with him and say, I have one aim. I have only one aim. And that is to finish the race and complete the task. Because remember, we're thinking, if Paul could be that focused, could we be as well? And the answer is yes, we could be. But let's continue. Acts 20:22 in the NIV. Paul's talking, he says, he was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. He was compelled by the Spirit. King James says he was bound by the Spirit. The message is he was constrained by the Spirit. So compelled, bound, constrained, talks about you can do nothing else. You have been captured by this thing and captured by the Spirit. And I asked myself the question, when last have I been compelled by the Spirit to do anything? And perhaps you could have the same question. When last were you compelled by the Spirit? I mean, we can be compelled by other things. On the way home, I could be compelled to get a nice big hamburger, but that's not the same thing, is it? To be compelled by the Spirit. And it's not just a Paul experience. Maybe it's for you and me as well. Acts 21:13, the third scripture. From the Message, it says, the issue, this is Paul speaking, the issue in Jerusalem is not what they do to me, whether arrest or murder, two great options, but what the Master Jesus does through my obedience. So just from these three verses of Scripture, we see Paul very, very focused on his life's purpose. And if Paul could be focused on his life's purpose, can't we? Can't we be as sure about what we're about as he was? And I'd like to think, yes, we can, because we're translating things into our present reality. Imagine if the Lord had given us a prayer burden as the purpose of our lives. Just assume that to be the case. Then we could write the scriptures and say that my only aim is to complete the task of praying for the country. Just a thought there. And that we would finish the race and complete the task. We would endeavor and we would continue to do that until we were finished. The next scripture is we are compelled by the Spirit to pray for our country. Constrained by the Spirit to pray. Is it possible that you and I could be constrained by the Spirit to pray? I think we can. And if we had to ask the Lord, Lord, I'm open for your direction, for your alignment, that you would help me, would you focus my life on what you intend? I think the Lord can compel us, constrain us, can bind us by the Spirit to do what he wants us to do. We see a Paul that is completely surrendered Remember the triangle Louis spoke of? The top is the up, is the unconditional love of the Father. The in, on the left-hand side of the triangle, is the unwavering surrender. And the one on the right, the out, is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We see Paul is directly in that place. And we are in a similar place in 2017. And then the last one, the issue in Jerusalem is not what they do to me, whether arrest or murder, but what the Master Jesus does through my obedience. Could we say that the issue is not, the issue is, what can the Master Jesus do through my obedience when I pray? As I've spent some time on these scriptures, I'm amazed at the focus of Paul's life. There was no question about what he was about. And we know and love the Lord. He lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit with us. I feel like this is where we're headed, that we would know when we get up in the morning what we're about as the Lord puts his plan into our hearts. Interesting further, if you consider Paul has been encountering the Lord really one-on-one. He understands the whole process of not my will but yours be done. But clearly, in a couple of chapters later, Paul is found praying. Can I read the scriptures to you? Acts 21:5. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. This is Paul, super focused Paul, finding time to pray. Acts 20:36. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. Can we translate prayer from Acts into 2017? We can, and we're going to, and shortly we're going to pray together. There's some more prayer in the book of Acts. Cornelius is an example. It says in Acts 10:2, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. This is Cornelius. So we have the unction or we have the base to pray from today. So now we're getting to the point where we want to pray. So can I ask, would the elders, any elders that are with us today, I think many would be away, would you join me on the stage with the pastoral team, the full pastoral team? We're going to form groups on the stage. We're going to ask you to form groups as well. And then we're going to pray for four items. So would you put yourself out? We're going to form little groups. Holding hands is optional. But we want to pray. We want our voices to be heard on behalf of our country. A little bit awkward, but this is important to do. So pastors, would you come, please? And can I ask, would you stand? We're going to take about 10 minutes, so just prepare yourself. Form groups of three or four people. This is part of today's message, is that we pray for our country. Give you a little while just to find your place. Can you just form groups, guys, in any way it's possible for you? Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right, the first item we're going to pray about is for a united church in the country. We need the body of Christ in South Africa to be salt and light, to be a royal priesthood. We need to speak with one voice. Those involved in prophetic ministry need to say the same thing. It's when we divide it that there's no power behind what we say. So can you think, as you stand in your small group, what you could pray for our country to be united? Remember, if you've got anything against any other church, it's a good time to fix it now before we pray. Ask the Lord to forgive you. If there's anybody in this venue that you need to sort out, just forgive them as well. We want to pray with clean hands. Okay, let's pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. I've asked Pastor Jan just to pray a closing prayer on this point. Jan has planted his own church and he understands the body of Christ out of experience. So Jan, would you pray, please?
I'm going to start with a prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17 for us. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Lord, you say in your word that where there's unity, that you command your blessing. So Lord, we pray that, Lord, that we will not blindly stare against our diversity, our cultural and national diversity, our languages, Lord, that we speak. Lord, our racial diversity, even our political diversity, our denominational diversity. But Lord, we've got this in common, that we've all got the same Father. Lord, we are brothers and sisters. Lord, we are united. We are one family. So Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us, Lord, that we will, Lord, that we will unite around the things that are truly central, Lord, that maybe we can unite, Lord, around praying for your will, Lord, not our own. Maybe we can unite, Lord, to pray that your kingdom will come, not our own kingdoms, Lord, that we won't hold our own personal peace and affluence, Lord, as the highest thing to be protected, but that we will be willing to lay down, to humble ourselves, Lord, to sacrifice if we need to, for your kingdom to come. Lord Jesus, will you help us, please, Lord, to pursue you, to love, to reach out, and to look, Lord. Lord, let us, in the places where we work, where we minister, maybe even where we march and picket, Lord, in the places where we go around, Lord, that we will bring a message of hope, not a message of anger, a message of despair, of hopelessness, but Lord, we can have hope because we know you. You're our Father, Lord, and help us to unite around those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jan. We're going to need move to the next point, and it comes out of Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and 9, which says, "Speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." And so we want to pray for the restoration of dignity to all the people of the country. And we want to pray for the eradication of poverty and the inability to live in a way that is dignified. So would you, again, in your circle, pray around that, please?
I would like to just pray on this point. In Genesis, it reminds us that Isaac, during the time when there was famine, he actually planted and he reaped 100-fold. where there was drought, where there was nothing. And I want to pray this morning that God will restore the people that are battling financially, people who are in dire poverty, that God will restore something. But I felt something specific when we were just praying around this in the pastoral and just waiting on the Lord, that maybe God wants to break through a spirit of entrepreneurship, that people will come to a place where they can have ideas and that they would launch new things, that things will be different for them, that it doesn't need to be in a big scale, but even in small or medium scale, it doesn't matter, but that there would be breakthrough in people's lives through entrepreneurship. So let's agree on that and just pray together. Father, I want to thank you that your heart, Lord, is that everybody will have something in their hands, that you've given each one of us something, Lord, something to make a living for ourselves, Lord. If you could do it for Isaac, where Isaac, Lord, you helped him to plant where there was famine and there was nothing, and that year he reaped 100-fold. You are the same God yesterday. You are the same God today. You are the same God forever. And so we pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that there would be a breakthrough of entrepreneurship in South Africa, Lord. That people with new ideas, Father, will come forth. That God, new ideas will be implemented. That, Lord, it won't be about how much money they have or they can make, but from a small to a medium or even a higher scale, Lord, that God, you would bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you create for us this economy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Letsolo. Third prayer pointer, we'd like to pray for the political leaders of the country. We want to pray that they would have humility and that they would have great wisdom. Think of the sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do at that moment. We need political leaders like that. We want to pray for our leaders that they would have that kind of insight. And then we want to pray if there is any unrighteous leadership, if there are any given to corruption, we want to pray against those things. So would you, in your circles again, let's pray for good, humble, wise leadership. Thank you for your prayers again. We know the Lord hears every prayer that is prayed. Thank you for your cooperation. I've asked Dr. Gerard Wommerans just to do the final prayer. Gerard is an elder of the church. He's been here maybe 30 years. Long-standing member of this church. He's an expert in this field, and he's going to do the final prayer on the leadership of our political leaders.
Our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And Lord, in this light, Lord, we want to follow your instruction, and we want to pray for our leaders, Lord. We want to pray for our leaders. Lord, but your word also says that you oppose the proud and you give grace to the humble, Lord God. So, Lord, we want to pray for all our leaders, Lord, that those of them that are proud, Lord God, in themselves, Lord God, Lord, that you will actually resist them. But those that are humble, Lord God, that you will strengthen them, that you will give grace to them, that those men and women in our leadership, Lord God, that walks with this humble heart, Lord God, that you will give them courage, Lord God, that they can lead in your character, Lord God, your character who's for the poor, who's for the weak, who's for the widow, the orphan, the child, the alien, Lord God, that they can lead in wisdom to serve the people, Lord God. A real hearts of service, servanthood, we pray for in our leaders, Lord God. So, Lord God, we just stand on your word, Lord God, and we trust you, Lord God, that you will resist the proud, but give grace and courage to the humble to lead in line with your will for us, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we declare that you are in charge, Lord God, that our country belongs to you. We as your children, Lord God, as a royal priesthood, Lord God, we take our place and we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders and we pray for your will to be done. We resist the plans of the enemy, Lord God. We stand against it and we declare your will over South Africa and our leadership in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great crowd. Thank you. We have a final prayer, so maybe if you could maybe all just face this way. I don't think we'll ask you to pray, but if you could maybe listen to a prayer, if you could come, Hubert. Hubert's going to pray, and the prayer is going to go around 4 points. First of all, to celebrate our diversity as a nation, that we are wonderfully diverse, and that's a point to celebrate, and to appreciate people from other nations, for hatred to be replaced with love, and peace and cooperation to replace violence. Quite a big prayer, but I wonder if you could be standing with us as we pray that. I've asked Hubert to pray in French, just to open the thing up completely and to welcome all the people from other countries with us. So would you pray, please? Thank you. Let's join Hubert in prayer.
Prions. L'Éternel des armées, Dieu notre Père, Créateur de l'univers, Créateur de tout homme, nous venons vers toi à travers Jésus-Christ et le sang qui nous a rachetés. Nous prions contre la haine, la xénophobie, le racisme et toutes les choses qui nous divisent dans l'Église et en dehors de l'Église. La parole dit que les sages de ce monde n'ont pas connu la sagesse de Dieu. Et s'ils l'avaient connu, ils n'auraient pas crucifié le Fils de Dieu, Jésus-Christ. Mais cette sagesse a été révélée parmi nous à travers ceux que tu aimes. Nous venons vers toi, Père, sachant que seul toi peux changer la destinée de cette nation. Seul toi peux pardonner tous ceux qui font le mal, tous ceux qui apportent la division et tous ceux qui, dans leur cœur, se retrouvent du côté du malin. Nous prions la victoire de Jésus-Christ à travers l'Afrique du Sud, parmi tous les peuples qui sont ici présents, et même les étrangers, au nom de Jésus-Christ. Et nous t'aimons, Père. Et nous savons qu'avec toi, nous avons la victoire, car la parole le dit, à travers Christ Jésus, nous avons vaincu. Merci, Père. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. You can take your seats, please. Thank you. Thank you. If you could take your seats just as we come to a conclusion. Thank you for your cooperation today. Every prayer is heard by the Lord. And I hope that as you have prayed, something moved in your spirit this morning and that you will pray again. At the Seeking meeting on Wednesday, we are going to be focusing on prayer. Until such time is necessary, we're going to be praying whenever we can as a community. We're a community on a mission, and at this point, the mission includes prayer. Is that amen? Let's keep praying. I just want to, one last thought about Acts. In Acts 27, you know that Paul is shipwrecked, yet they get to the shore safely, gets a snake on his hand, but he gets to Rome. And in Acts chapter 28, it says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. God's will was done. There was a shipwreck, there was a snake, but his will was done. And we are trusting for God's will to be done in our country, his kingdom to come, that we will all celebrate together. So in conclusion, remember there's something to be gained as you spend time in the Word. See how it applies to you, how it translates into your situation. And let's be pray active, that we pray before situations arise. We don't only want to be praying after the fact. We want to be proactive in our prayers. So let's be pray active as we go into this week. The Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.